Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. Stress. Oh, that word. Who isn't familiar with it? Well, all of us experience it at one time or another. My guest today, Ashley Davis Bush, has put together a delightful book. It's the size that you could put in your briefcase, carry it with you. It could be something you have by your bedside that enables you to just put some good thoughts into your head. It's called Shortcuts to Inner Peace. And I think that that's a subject that so many of us need to be mindfully present with, that inner peace. It makes all the difference in the world. I want to welcome to the airwaves Ashley Davis Bush. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thanks for having me on. It's great to talk with you.
Now, you're in beautiful New Hampshire, and you yourself are a licensed psychotherapist. You also deal with grief counseling, which is a special arena in and of itself. You've been on all kinds of programs. Shortcuts to Inner Peace. Our world today is one that's so busy. When I look at some of these old movies where people were so stressed, they usually place the old movies in New York, where everything has always gone 10,000 miles an hour. And I think, my goodness, their world at that time was so unlike ours. And you credit a lot of people with helping you put this book together. Why was it important for you to write it?
Well, Donna, I'll tell you, I wrote this book because I needed it, basically, in a nutshell. You know, necessity is the mother of invention. And basically, I was in a new marriage in a blended family. My new husband and I had 5 children between us that we were blending
into. Oh, boy, that would do me in 3 minutes. 5 kids, that's it. Oh, my word.
And not only that, but 4 out of the 5 are teenagers. So
that's it. I'm on another planet. That took care of me.
That's its own brand of stress. So here I was wanting to be very happy in my new marriage, which I was happy in my new marriage, but I was really stressed out by all these kids and these teenagers and the blended family dynamics. And the backdrop to all of this, as you mentioned, I do grief counseling. And my first book's called Transcending Loss. And so for 20 years, I've been working with grievers and hearing stories of just unbelievably sad loss. And basically always being very aware that life is brief, it's fragile, it can go in a second. So I have this urgency, really, a sense that I don't want to miss the magic of my life. I don't want to miss the wonder, because life is just too precious to be wasting it with stress, essentially. And so here I was in this quandary, knowing I wanted to savor life, wanting to savor my life, and still feeling stressed. And I thought, I really need to find a way to weave moments of inner peace into my life, because I was feeling that I didn't have the time to exercise. At the time, I didn't have time to get to yoga classes. I couldn't meditate. I just was feeling so frustrated that I knew I needed to find the tools within myself. And really, the whole premise of the book is that you don't need to change your circumstances to find peace. You learn how to find the peace that actually lies and dwells within you.
You make some very good points. One in your book is, you say we feed our stress by blaming our circumstances for our condition rather than seeing how we participate in creating our stress, and that most of us are completely unaware of how our reactions to circumstance exacerbate our stress. Boy, can I relate to that.
That's
is something,
exactly,
especially
right.
If I haven't had much sleep. Boy, can I relate to that.
Yes. Well, it's not that the circumstances are completely irrelevant, because obviously circumstances do matter. However, we tend to put all the power in the circumstances, and we think, you know, I can't be relaxed unless I have X number of dollars in my bank account, or unless I weigh the right amount, or unless my children are behaving. And so we think that we can't be happy or relaxed or at peace until these things happen, or until certain conditions are gone, like once I get healthy, or once my kids are grown, or once I'm on vacation. And what happens when you do that, you basically give away your power. So the flip side of that is when you realize and recognize that it's your reactions that are exacerbating potentially stressful situations, you get to take your power back. So that's the good news.
I had to chuckle at one of your sentences. Actually, it was one of your paragraphs. You said, I tried to create the perfect oasis of calm. When all five kids are out of the house, it works for a while. I'm the female Buddha incarnate as I stroll through my silent, childless house and note each room staying perfectly organized from morning till night. That is, until my child army returns. Then I go from Buddha to berserk in 60 seconds flat. I said, I like this woman. She's honest. I have been there so many times that I know there are listeners in my audience that are saying, can I ever relate to that? Whether it's a boss, whether it has something to do with anything. I mean, it's what happens. I mean, you can, it just it happens that fast. Buddha to berserk. I really like that description.
Well, thank you.
I thought that was great.
You've been there too. Well, it's amazing how that can happen. I've known people that come back from retreats or vacations and they're feeling so calm and so relaxed, and just boom, like in a heartbeat, something can happen, just set you off and you get hijacked. Mm-hmm. But again, this, the concept of basically really internalizing this idea that we have the power to respond to our circumstances differently. We own it. We have the ability. That when you really get that, you get your power back, you become less reactive, and you don't get hijacked as easily.
Let's talk about some shortcuts. Because you said right at the beginning of the interview that this book you wrote for yourself, basically, because you needed to really get your act together. You were finding you were just all over the place. And I think that that is so honest, and saying this is what I did because I figured I had to figure out something for myself. So you've got what you call the science of shortcuts. How did you develop your science of shortcuts?
Well, you know, I basically started to get the inspiration. It was one particular client, actually, in my practice. She was going through a divorce, and she said, you know, she was incredibly stressed out. She was living under the same roof with her soon-to-be ex because she couldn't afford to get her own place. He couldn't afford to move out. They were trying to manage their life, their children. She was just completely at her wit's end, and she said, I know, she actually already knew that she had the power, but she felt that she didn't have the time. So what she said to me was, I don't have time. I know I would feel better if I exercised, if I meditated, if I went to yoga class, if I got a massage, if I took a walk in the woods. I know those things would help. However, I do not have the time. And I thought to myself, and I said to her, now wait a minute, you have the time to brush your teeth in the morning, you have time to wash your hands, you have time to drive to work, you have time to get ready for bed, you have time to empty the dishwasher, you have time. So let's figure out something you can do while you're doing things you're already doing. So she loved this concept, and I gave her basically in the moment, came up with the first shortcut, which I call Go With The Flow, which is basically a mantra to repeat while you're washing your hands. It's a mantra of acceptance and sort of serenity. And so she said she'd try it during the week. She came back the next week. She said, that was really helpful. Do you have any more? And I was like, ah, this is it. The idea is to attach various well-being practices to activities that you're already doing in your day. And then you can weave them effortlessly into your schedule, which is perfect for people who are very, very busy. So that's really how it started to evolve, when I recognized that some well-being practices I was already doing, things like visualizations, breathing exercises, cognitive behavioral reframes, energy medicine, positive psychology, I basically started to distill them down into sort of bite-sized nuggets triggered by ordinary experiences.
You have an example that I think is a wonderful example, and that is when you're driving and you're at a red light, and you talk about your experience of being behind a vehicle, and there were these children in the back seat, and they turned around and they looked at you, and you smiled at them, and they gave you a peace sign. And it was like a red light went on in your head that said, changed to green, that said, okay, this made a difference. It made my mood go up. A smile, making eye contact with the children, just smiling and having a positive reaction to them. And I think so often our minds get so busy that when we're driving many times, we're thinking about our to-do lists or agitating situations or we're just exhausted. This is a good tip.
Yes. Well, you know, it's one of my favorite shortcuts. It's called stop, drop, and roll, and the trigger is to be at red lights. And it was inspired by that experience of interacting with the kids and having this sort of well-being moment at the red light. And I thought, you know, most people are so frustrated at red lights. They wish they had got through the red light. They're maybe aggravated at the other drivers. You know, road rage, people are feeling frustrated, they're in a hurry. So I thought, what a different experience to come to a red light. And the practice is, as you stop, you drop down into your heart, as it were, and you roll out goodwill to the people around you. Now, what that really looks like is that you take a minute to say, you know what? All these people in cars are just like me. They have joys, they have sorrows, they have dreams, they have disappointments, they love people, they lose people, they work, they pay bills. You know, they're just like me. We're all in the same boat. So if you sort of open your heart with compassion and say, I hope you have a great day, I hope you are healthy, I wish you peace, I wish you prosperity, you just wish them well. And what it does is it actually opens your heart and makes you feel better. That it's basically based on this concept that when you open your heart to goodwill, you benefit. And you spread it, too, so they benefit. And so it's kind of a win-win situation.
I think that that's such a good idea. I also like something that you suggested in your book. You called it the shakedown.
And shakedown, yes.
This would be good to teach kids, too. I mean, this would be something with kids that I think would be just wonderful, but for adults, it really is good. Tell us what the shakedown is.
Okay, well, the shakedown is about shaking energy off of your body and making a transition from the end of your workday into your home. Because it's so easy, if we're not careful, if we're not intentional, to just carry our workday right into our evening. So you're just, all the stress that might have built up on the job and on your commute, if you weren't doing stop, drop, and roll, so you're feeling stressed, you come in and you're just like a ball of energy that's negative and stressful. So the idea of shakedown is that when you're transitioning from work to home, you literally shake your body. You start with your right leg, you shake it off. You start with your left leg, you shake it off. You do your right arm, your left arm. For those of us who are old enough to remember the hokey pokey, it's that kind of concept that you're shaking it all off. You kind of do a little twist, use your neck to do a neck roll, and you are shaking it off. Now, what this does is, from an energetic point of view, you actually are shifting the energy in your body. And then from an emotional point of view, you're making this intentional decision to leave that work energy so that you can enter your home with more peace and be open to whatever that's going to be, whether you live alone or you have pets or you have children or a spouse or whatever your circumstances.
Can you imagine a teacher doing that with a disruptive student and saying, okay, everybody stand up. We all got to do the hokey pokey.
Exactly.
I think that would be a classroom where every single person in that classroom would be in stitches.
It would be fun, wouldn't it? You know, the other fantastic thing about when you develop these things as habits, so for example, you know, every time you go to a red light, you do that goodwill practice, and every time you come home, you do this sort of shaking off and shifting the energy, you start to create new neural pathways in your brain. And so that's what's really exciting about this. They're fun in the moment, but the better news is that they actually rewire your brain thanks to neuroplasticity. And neuroplasticity is the brain's ability to change in response to experience. So repetition is really key, but when these are triggered or prompted by certain experiences, you know, ordinary things, you're able to get them into your routine as a habit, and thus the rewiring takes place.
You had a 5-year-old little girl who got furious one day, and she just was very upset because she couldn't find her shorts. She was to go to her grandmother's. She was absolutely driving you nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And you responded in a non-responsive way, and you overcame your agitation. I don't know of anybody who's been around children that when they go through something like this, they are just ready to explode. In fact, they may even explode because they'll say, oh, this is so ridiculous. But even adults act like this. They can be very childish. I know of wives that complain about their husbands. They say, I swear I've got a 5-year-old. What do I do with this?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do with your 5-year-old?
Well, you know, I'm trying to remember that story. Which shortcut was that created to? Because you know
dealing
what? I've
with
had so
anger.
Many meltdowns with my kids. I can hardly keep track of them, Donna.
I gotcha. This is when your 5-year-old is telling you she couldn't find her shorts. She then blamed you for losing her shorts. And she then says she will not leave the house under any circumstances until she finds her shorts, and she's going into a tantrum. She's absolutely losing it. And then you said, you are going on this trip, and that's final. We leave in 20 minutes. And you were just furious. She was just pushing you to the max. But you turned
it
around.
I turned it around, I'm sure, in some way, because I know that it's the reaction that gets your goat. And so one example that I like to tell people when they're getting activated is to actually do one, I call it Jack and Chill. And it's for when you're starting to get activated and your heart rate's racing and you're really reacting and your buttons are getting pushed. And what you do is you excuse yourself, you go to the bathroom, and you splash cold water on either your wrists or your face or the back of your neck. And it is amazing what a little bit of cold water will do on these particular pressure points, particularly your wrist and the back of your neck up by your ears. You put a little cold water there, and it starts to calm you down and chill you out so that you can go back and react in a different way. Because that's really what all this is about. It's learning how to react to things differently and also to create habits that basically allow you to access your peacefulness on a regular basis.
Dealing with a 5-year-old is one thing. Dealing with an aggressive, nasty adult. You called it the right turn.
Mm.
And I have a friend that had another option. She worked a lot with the public, and there was a very wise woman she'd come to know, and she said, how do you handle these obnoxious people?
Mm-hmm.
Because they encountered quite a few of them. And most of the time, the people were highly stressed. And she said, well, what I say is, your comment, you might be right. However, these are circumstances, and she learned to keep her voice level. This was something that really helped her a great deal because she had found herself in more than one situation where someone would just come at her so aggressively in her face, just with this assertive, what do I want to say, alpha female or alpha male type of attitude, and she just learned how to diffuse it.
That's
what taught you how to diffuse it?
Well, you know, it's very much a similar kind of observation of observing that when someone comes in an aggressive, hostile, attacking way, you can pretty much never win by meeting it with the same level of aggressive, hostile energy. It's like a lose-lose, because basically their amygdala is activated, which is the part of the brain that sets us up for fight, flight, or freeze. And so if you react with an equally active amygdala, nothing good can come of it. So I started to notice when I used the shortcut called right turn, which basically means you just disarm them and diffuse them by agreeing with them in some way, by not responding back with a push. It's kind of like Aikido, the martial art where you use their energy and make it fluid. So the practice of right turn is to basically say, I agree with you, or if you can't say that, say, I can see how you would think that. And you disarm it. And even if you're not totally in agreement with it, you say that and the energy starts to de-escalate so that you can basically have a more sane conversation, you know, and that's basically what you're trying to get to. So it's de-escalating that kind of energy, because if you meet it with the same energy, nothing good is going to happen.
You have a delightful story about win-win and being at an auction, and you wanted to get this one item so badly you could taste it, and you were outbid. And this lady did an absolutely amazing thing. She gifted you with what she had bought.
Yes. Yes, it was amazing. It was so touching, and I was so moved by it, and I realized that that was actually a great practice. It's really a spiritual kind of practice that that when you're feeling stuck or really selfish, to give is, it sort of unlocks your stuck energy. And to be able to say, because what she said to me when I didn't want to receive her gift, she said, it's your gift to me to receive it. And so I realized there's just this real reciprocity, that in giving, I receive, in receiving, I give. And that's a concept that we so often don't take in, because we're so sort of poverty-stricken mentality. You know, we can get in that place. But the idea that in giving you receive and in receiving you give is just very powerful. And I'm glad that you're mentioning these stories, because as you see in the book, all of the shortcuts are written with these anecdotal stories that are basically taken from my life, that kind of illustrate it in a very accessible way. And so I think it makes the book quite accessible to people, that it's just not a compendium of tools, although it is that as well, but it's a lot of stories that really bring it home and show you how you can apply it in your life.
Dealing with stress is an issue that we all go through, and whether it is something with the kids, like we've been joking about, or if we've got something with a spouse, maybe there's someone in the family we're a caretaker for, we're at a job that's just so demanding, we just feel by the end of the day we're absolutely wiped out. You have a little chapter here when if someone is feeling anxious or stressed, to take and put one hand on the upper chest between the collarbone, between the collarbones, and the other hand on the tummy. Apply a little light pressure, breathe deeply into your belly, and then as you exhale slowly, rub your hand in a circle on your upper chest. Now, this almost sounds like emotional touch therapy. Is this something you discovered on your own, or how did you learn about this?
Well, you know, it's interesting, because I pick up stuff all over the place. I'm always researching things and reading things, and I think I must have read that in a book somewhere along the way, but I lost track of it, because I've been doing that one for quite a few years. I really... I guess I could say it first came to me in college, because a friend of mine, when I was having an anxiety attack, we were singing, she put her hand on my upper chest and said, this is what my mother did for me when I was anxious. And so that's really where it started. But then I read about it later, and in particular, adding your hand on your stomach, on your lower belly, as well as this, as your upper chest, it actually mimics neurologically the feeling of being held as an infant, and that your original caretaker, when they held you when you were an infant, your whole range of body would be held like that from the upper body to the stomach. So it mimics that kind of secure feeling. And you can give that to yourself, whether you're lying down or you're standing up, whether you're feeling anxious or you're feeling, you know, nervous about something. It's a very self-soothing sort of gesture. And I use that quite frequently and teach that to my clients because it can be very effective. You also want to breathe deeply while you're doing it and let the air fill into your stomach. We often think that taking a deep breath means, you know, lifting your chest and contracting your stomach, and it's just the opposite. You want to be filling your stomach like you're a pregnant belly and having your belly rise with the breath.
You bring up some sensory exercises in a couple of your chapters, which I think is great. One is to be mindfully present with food and to be curious. Where did this come from? It's a development of a sensory awareness that so often we don't take the time to figure out. I think if we could sort of pretend like we're children and say, okay, this is a cashew nut. Where did this come from? Madagascar? Brazil, mm-hmm. or Tacoma, Washington, where did it come from? And to explore, or also when we're stressed, to maybe shift our attention to something outside the window, or maybe something on our desk, mm-hmm. maybe a magazine cover, and to be aware of the details, to shift
yes.
into another mental modality. And this can be done in a split second.
Oh, it can. It absolutely can. Yes, you mentioned sort of several there that I feel are really powerful. One, I love shifting to sound. Sound can be a real grounding sort of experience just to get out of your head and start listening to sound. Another can be looking at details of, you know, a pen or a pencil or eyeglasses. Just start to shift your attention to the tiny details. And the food one, that's one of my favorite. I call it seafood. And S-E-E food, to look at food in a new way and just imagine all that it took to get on your plate from wherever it grew to wherever it was packaged to however it got transported to your grocery store and then to your plate, that it just basically gives you a larger context for your life. And that's a real key aspect of accessing your inner peace, I feel, is basically getting a broader perspective and just feeling connected to something bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm. I think there are so many wonderful tips in your book, The Shortcuts to Inner Peace. We all are, I think, pretty intelligent, but sometimes we just get to that positioning of being overwhelmed. We feel like we are a robot, that somebody's got us on an automatic perform mode, and we're so tired we can't even think straight. And to be able to take control of that moment and to be able to make a shift is just absolutely wonderful. And that you just present so many different little tips, and with each of them, there's maybe one page, two pages, and that's all. It would be a great thing for a person to have this by their bedside before they went to bed, just to take one of these little items and figure out which one they would like to adopt and incorporate it into their lives. We don't need to do all 70 necessarily at all at the same time, but we can do them intermittently.
That's right. And what each one is designed to do is to kind of take you off of the automatic pilot, because I totally agree with you. Most of us are just, we can just be like robots, and we stop looking, we stop feeling almost. We're just sort of going through the motions, and it's just not the way you want to go through life. You want to be able to savor. You want to be able to notice, to enjoy, and to really wake up. basically wake up. And so each of these little restorative pauses, I feel, are designed to help people wake up to the wonder of their lives.
I agree. Now, I know we're out of time. Ashley Davis Bush, this is a wonderful book. If you know of anybody that's going through a lot of ups and downs, this would be a charming book to give them. Shortcuts to Inner Peace, 70 Simple Paths to Everyday Serenity. Check out her website, AshleyDavisBush.com. AshleyDavisBush.com. Ashley, we're out of time. I wish you success with your book, and your tips are wonderful. Your stories are charming. And we are going to have to say goodbye.
Okay. Well, thank you, Donna. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
It's been a delight having you as a guest. This is Donna Sebo. Check out AshleyDavisBush.com, Shortcuts to Inner Peace. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me. Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hello, this is Donna. Welcome back. I want you to know we've got another guest today. Visakha is a woman who, well, she did something I don't think a lot of us would want to do. And we're going to find out what that is. She's put out a wonderful book called Harmony and the Bhagavad Gita. Visakha, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's so nice to be with you.
You are a woman that, well, you got a degree with honors from Rochester Institute of Technology. You've written a number of books. You traveled to India. You have been involved with photography. You work on making documentary films. And you and your husband did something that I don't think a lot of people would get excited about. Tell us what you did.
Well, we were living in Los Angeles. We had a 5-year-old daughter, and we decided we really wanted our daughter to grow up in a natural environment, especially a spiritually oriented environment. Mm-hmm. So we moved from Los Angeles to a remote community in British Columbia, about 4.5 hours from Vancouver, and it's off the grid. There's no electricity from the powerhouse, and we got solar panels to make our own electricity. And we joined about 20 or 25 other families that were living there, also with spiritual orientations around the Bhagavad Gita, trying to make that practical in their lives. And we lived there for the past 13 years. We're still living there.
I had to chuckle when I started reading your story, because when people fantasize about living out in the wilderness, they don't have a clue. If they have never been in it, they don't have a clue. They don't know about the bugs, the dirt, the various things. Like, I loved how you had planted crops and you were going to be self-sustaining with food, and the black bears ate your carrots, broke your apple trees to get to the apples. You had aphids that attacked berry bushes and got into your kale, mice. Oh, aren't they wonderful? Oh, gee, they get in anywhere, everywhere. They're just like rats. And you were robbed, and it was minus 30 degrees. When I'm reading through all of this, I'm having to laugh, because I remember encountering, and this was back in the 80s, a young lady who, not unlike you and your husband, and she had just had a baby. She just had a little one with her. And I was on this plane listening to this conversation. We were on what they call a milk run, where they're transporting goods and services to different people throughout the state of Alaska, because the only way you can do it is by plane. And she had a manual that she'd gotten from the state of Alaska that was about 6 inches thick of what she would need to survive out in the wilderness. And she was having to figure it out, because she was going to literally be locked in for 6 months with no access to the outside world. And I just looked at her and I thought, I hope you have a lot of chocolate, because it's going to be awful. But you survived it. You
somehow
really ended
yeah.
up, you and your family, you've been there for 13 years. You just really learned a lot out there, and you still love it.
We still love it, yeah. We found we have to be a little bit resourceful. And, of course, we have a community, so we can share our problems and share the solutions and get solace that way. And we have, you know, an orientation to try to get beyond the ups and downs of this world through spiritual knowledge, so that really helps us also. And the community members get together regularly, several times a week, four times a week, for different functions. So all these things are very nourishing and joyful, actually. So we're very glad that we made that decision. Now our daughter's 18, and she actually thanks us, surprisingly enough. It really warms our hearts, but she thanks us for moving to that place. She kept in touch with a few friends that she had in Los Angeles, and when she compares her life to their lives, she feels exceptionally grateful that she grew up in that environment.
What a fortunate young woman she is, and to have the maturity to recognize how fortunate she is. Now, there are so many different aspects of awareness that you share in your book, Harmony and the Bhagavad Gita. And I had to chuckle, because you just felt like you had been living in a concrete metal glass ocean. I liked your words. You just felt when you're in Los Angeles that there was nothing outside of where you were. You really wanted to be able to breathe. And your husband had felt the same way. To make a decision like this, how in the world did you make a choice on the location that you did? What opted you to go into that direction? How did you become aware of it?
Well, someone came from that community to Los Angeles for a visit, and they invited me to go up there to give a seminar. So I went up there. That was in 1986 or 7, and I thought they must be crazy to live here so far away from everything. But at the same time, I was very attracted. And so when we had this little girl growing up with us, and we really felt that she needed a much better environment than what was available in Los Angeles, it just so happened a house was available for there in that community to rent. So we thought, well, we'll try it. You know, we'll just try it. We won't make any obligation to ourselves or commitment. And we did that, and we found it was really the best thing for both for us and for our daughter.
I love some of the stories that you had in the book.
Oh, thank you.
Because one of the things when you are out in the wilderness, you don't have a garden that comes with its tools to clean up the yard. And you're out in the yard, and you're having to pull weeds, and you're doing all kinds of things, and then you start getting bitten, and you're getting bitten by ants. Yet you really paid attention. You became mindfully present with these little critters, and you became aware of how organized they were, which ants are. They're incredibly organized. They have a phenomenal structure for their survival. And you use the words determined, disciplined, and harmonious. You didn't feel that way at all when you were observing it. But you said, I have to learn how to work with this. And that's what you really, was one of your big lessons in the beginning, was to become aware that you didn't have to battle things.
Yes, it's very true. Nature has its own rhythm. And rather than fighting with that rhythm and creating more problems, if we can study the rhythm and learn how to deal with it without these destructive tendencies, like trying to kill all the ants, for instance, it's actually more successful. And we feel better about it as well. So as you probably saw in the book, we found that these bears come by, they do create problems, like eating our carrots, but they also like to eat ants. So there's a natural balance there, and the ants are reduced. They're still there, and they still bite, and it still hurts, but there are less of them. So we're grateful for that.
Which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing, definitely.
Now, you have a friend there. Her name is Joan, and you said she had such a wonderful sense of humor, and she'd been living there for a while. And these people that had lived in the environment there for a while really... If you didn't, you know, you'd cry if you didn't laugh. So she opted to do the laughing. And she said, I told you that there were going to be trials here, but you have to experience things for yourself. And she gave you survival tips. What were some of her most important survival tips?
Well, a big one is remembering to laugh, as you mentioned. Otherwise, we can take things too seriously and be overwhelmed by them. But if we live in the present and try to accept what's going on as a lesson that we can learn from, and then take pleasure in that, it makes everything so much lighter rather than a burden and rather than stressful. So again, it's understanding there is a natural system going on out there, and that we can learn from it and become strong through it and make our way in a way that's harmonious with it. And actually, it's a very joyful thing.
There are some beautiful, beautiful photographs that you have of the area. And I especially love the photograph of the horse. And I'm assuming it's your daughter.
Yes, it's my daughter.
Has her face up next to the horse's face. It's a very poignant expression, the eye of the horse and your daughter's eyes. They both have the same intensity and clarity.
Yes, her horse's name, it's her own horse. His name is Adi. And when I saw that picture, it's like our daughter and Adi against the world. It was the two of them together. They have a bonding. And, you know, they're ready to go through life together and explore and have fun together and learn from each other. So it was for me, it was a very uplifting photograph. I really took pleasure in that.
In your book, you make a statement to keep a park wildness-free. Wildness-free. It really takes a lot of effort, and you use that as a description because around your home, you had to make sure you had an area that was clear because you could experience forest fires. And
yes.
You said, as you were talking about this, you also bring out a point, the mind also needs ongoing supervision. Boy, is that the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
now,
definitely.
With this, for you, what was one of the biggest things that you found you had to pay attention to when to keep your mind under supervision?
Well, the odd thing about moving to this remote community compared to living in Los Angeles, there was constant distraction, and I wasn't aware of it living there. But when I moved to this community, I realized that there's so much going on constantly in the cities that we're not aware of perhaps the destructive or negative habits of our mind. But when there's so much silence and time to ourselves, then you can feel and watch your mind being perhaps envious, being unnecessarily angry, going off in diversions that are not helpful at all. And you have the time and the presence, we strive for that, to pull it back to something constructive and positive and helpful rather than these very draining processes that it will go through if it's not observed.
I know that we are just about out of time, Visakha, and I'm so grateful we have Skype because we were able to interact with you today, and the photo on the front of your book about where you and your family live is just absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. And
oh, thank
your
you.
Book, Harmony and the Bhagavad Gita, Lessons from a Life-Changing Move to the Wilderness. What is your website that people can go to?
It's ourspiritualjourney.com, and there's a dash between our, it's our-spiritual-journey.com, ourspiritualjourney.com.
It is a lovely book. I want to
thank you
for
so
being
much.
My guest today. Again, Visakha, V-I-S-A-K-H-A. Check out her website, our-spiritualjourney.com. Harmony and the Bhagavad Gita, Lessons from a life-changing move to the wilderness.
Thank you so much, Don. I'm so grateful that you asked me to be on your show. It's a pleasure.
I appreciate it, your being here. Have a wonderful, wonderful life.
And
this is Donna Tebow. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Three announcements that I need to give quickly. First of all, day after tomorrow in Western Washington, I will be appearing at the Emerald Spiral in Kent, Washington, at the Kent Commons, this wonderful event, which is from 9 to 5. On Saturday, I will be there doing many readings. I'm going to have a plethora of books, and I hope you'll come by. Bring your family. It's a wonderful event. Admission is free. Check out for all the details on emeraldspiral.com. That's emeraldspiral.com. Announcement number two, my Quantum Mind 3 class is coming up. I'm so excited about this class. I just love teaching. And this is going to be on Saturday, April the 14th. Hours are from 10 until 4, including lunch. We have a gorgeous environment. Robert Newman is going to be with me again in this class. This time he's going to be teaching about Chinese medicine for everyday living. And then in the second part of the class, we're going to be working with dreams, talking about their value, how to interpret them, and we're also going to be doing mind exercises for intuitive development. So it is really going to be a dynamic class. If you would like to be a part of this class, we are limited to 25 students. Please get in touch with me. Call me at my office, 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604, and make your reservation. If you make your reservation in advance, it's $59.95 for the day. Otherwise, at the door, it's $69.95. So do give me a call. It's so exciting. Announcement number three, the Donna Sebo Show is going to be moving to 9 a.m. as of May 1st. Yes. After six years of being at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific time, we are now going to be moving the show to 9 a.m. So if you're on the East Coast, you'll be able to listen to it at noon. And if you're at Mountain or Central Time, then it'll be adjusted accordingly in between. But I'm really excited about this, and I hope that you will note that on your calendars. Again, the Donna Sebo Show is shifting to 9 a.m. as of the 1st of May. A great way to start off the month. So I wanted to let you know. Okay, I wanted to share something fun with you. I've got an image here of veggies that's like a mile-high stack. And I just thought, what in the world is this? Well, apparently, a Chinese engineer by the name of Shen Hongrui started what is called salad bar hacking. Now, this to me was just really wild and crazy. He has a 3-foot food tower. This, can you imagine raw veggies stacked 3 feet high? Well, apparently, it's become a real, real big thing in China. It's become so popular that the local Pizza Huts in China had to shut down their salad bars. But this is what you do. You get a bowl, a big platter maybe, that's got a bowl-like structure to it, and you put carrot sticks, you fill the bowl, you lay your carrot sticks on top, and then build walls by layering cucumber, orange, and tomato slices. And you fill the tower with your choice of food. I mean, this thing is just incredible when I'm looking at it. And people are loving it. Kids are eating their veggies. It's 3 feet high. Amazing. Well, you never know what people are going to come up with. You just haven't a clue. So that's one way to get those raw vegetables down. I just hope they have some dip to go along with it. I like usually something to go along with a dip. Okay, and then, you know, you can purge, you recycle your old computer and cell phone, but let's talk about how you can make money doing it. There are websites like Gazelle.com, Nextworth.com, Nextworth.com, and BuyMyTronics.com. They like to buy used electronics and will even pay you to ship your old devices to them. So if you've got stuff that's accumulated, this is a way to get rid of it. Also, Apple. Apple will take your old iPhone, iPad, Mac, or PC. You can mail it in, too, if you want, if you don't want to go to the store. But they have to evaluate if it can be reused. And if so, they will apply the amount of its value to an Apple gift card, which you can use at any Apple retail or online store. If your device is useless, then they'll recycle it for you for free. And that is becoming a huge, huge business, recycling, because there's so much in the way of components inside computers. I know that we're out of time. My goodness, it's just been great being with you today. We have two wonderful guests. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Velikovsky heresies. Laird Scranton is going to be my guest. This is about a man who was so far ahead of his time in his observations and perceptions. Fascinating stuff. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow. I hope you can join me. Remember always, you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. No matter where you are in life, you have the right to choose whether it is shifting your mood, moving to the wilderness. You have a right to choose. And along with that, you need to be aware of the fact that whenever you make choice, responsibility is always with that choice. But isn't it wonderful that you can know you have the opportunity to make a choice? There are many people in this world that never, ever get to realize that. You can. Be empowered with it. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.